Commentator John Rosenthal has been to lots of weddings in his day, where he's found his mind tends to wander. He's not alone.
Back in the late 60s, when I was first learning how to be a photographer, I'd photograph the weddings of people I knew free of charge. I was invited to a lot of weddings. It was a pretty strange time for love and marriage. Take my friends Don and Louise. They'd met in the Peace Corps, and they wanted their wedding to reflect their values. But while they were dedicating their lives to ending hunger and nuclear proliferation, I found myself thinking about the Red Sox pitching rotation and what I was going to eat for dinner. In any case, they spoke about what they wanted to do for mankind, yet said nothing about helping each other. They got divorced after a couple of years, probably because mankind's easier to love than a husband or wife. Mankind never gets fatter or fails to do its share of the housework. Then there was Lucy and Chaz, the folks who lived next door to the farmhouse I was renting a few miles north of Chapel Hill. They decided to get married after they took mescaline and stayed up all night decoding the symbolism of Dylan's John Wesley Harding. They began their wedding day by taking LSD, and after a brief service at City Hall, spent the rest of the day floating on a pond in rubber tire tubes, listening to Creedence Clearwater and watching the sun drift across the sky. When they divorced a few years later, they were like strangers who'd had a nice conversation on a train. My favorite wedding of the time, though, was Arnie Stein's. Arnie was a friend of mine in graduate school who abandoned his thesis on the poet Shelley to return to the country and live off the land. As far as I know, Arnie, who was from Long Island, had no family history of tilling the soil, and neither did his fiancée, Barbara Friedman, from Brooklyn. They got married on a humid summer day in the middle of a cow pasture. Arnie and Barbara, dressed in blousy, hand-embroidered peasant outfits, led the procession of friends and family into the pasture and stopped in front of a small oak tree. Arnie's mother, a small, wide woman with large earrings, had probably never been in a pasture before, and she wasn't happy about it. To the detriment of her mascara, she was sweating visibly, and her high heels kept sinking into the ground. Moreover, on the way to the pasture, one of her stockings had snagged on a thorn. When she finally reached the small oak tree, she caught her first whiff of manure, and turning to her husband, she said, "Is that cow manure I'm smelling?" Mr. Stein, a small, dapper man wearing dark sunglasses and smoking a cigarette, sniffed the air and said, "Yeah, I think so," and began to scrutinize the ground near his feet. Mrs. Stein's eyes widened as if she'd seen something unimaginable, and then closed slowly. She took a deep breath, waiting for the ceremony to begin. A few minutes later, a tall, bearded chaplain with rimless glasses stood in front of Arnie and Barbara, welcomed everybody, and said, "We are gathered here together to celebrate the wedding of Thaddeus and Martha." There was a moment of deep silence. I looked at the chaplain, hoping he'd caught his mistake. Arnie and Barbara, who had in spirit already assumed their new identities, gazed lovingly into each other's eyes. The silence seemed interminable. It was broken by Mrs. Stein's voice, which, like a lost bird, rose bewilderedly above the quiet gathering. "What did he say?" she asked her husband. "Thaddeus? Martha? Who the hell are Thaddeus and Martha?" They're still married, by the way, happily, and they didn't end up living off the land. The last I heard of them, they were living near Boston, where Thad conducts retreats for overstressed executives, and Martha runs a public relations firm. In spite of their names, they're still the same people I knew as Arnie and Barbara, only richer.
John Rosenthal is a writer and photographer in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He comes to us by way of member station WUNC.